In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go.
It is time to talk movies and, well, frankly, whatever else is on the mind of Alan Adams. He joins us here in studio like he do on Mondays. Hi there, Alan.
Well, hello there. How are you?
Very good, thank you. You had the day off from work today, you were telling me, doing some things around the house?
I did. Yeah, we did. We did a few things around the house, but what wound up really happening was we both wound up falling asleep on the couch at various points. For one stretch this afternoon, it was literally everybody in the house was on the couch. So it was myself. I had a cat on me. Sheridan had a cat on her. Stella was in between us.
Aww.
It was really quite cozy.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was really, that's like, I mean, you get a day off. Like, that's how you want to spend it.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
No question about it. It was a little chilly out there, too, today.
Right. And, you know, we both had things we could have been doing. But you know what? Let's embrace the opportunity to be here as a family.
There you go. Absolutely. Did you watch any of the playoff football over the weekend?
I did. I watched a little bit. I did not envy those poor sons of guns in Kansas City.
Ooh, that looked cold.
It looked awful.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and you have to think that on some level, that perhaps impacted the team that makes its home in Miami.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it was pretty good. Like, saw some good games. I was, you know, you sort of worry at a point. You're like, oh, you know, like, it was nice to see the Texans perform so well. Mm. You know, it's always nice. It's exciting to see, like, a young quarterback sort of come into their own on the national stage like that. I was a little concerned watching sort of Miami fizzle a little bit. I'm like, oh, are we just going to get a bunch of, like, boring, predictable sort of games or whatever? And then we got to watch the Packers absolutely just lay the pipe to the Cowboys.
God, that was fun.
It felt good, right?
I love that.
You know, and it's like, I don't necessarily carry the antipathy towards the Cowboys that many people do, but I'm old enough to have grown really sick of the whole America's team.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know what? Like, I'm sort of glad they got their, you know, their pants knocked off by frankly a team that nobody thought would be able to do that.
Right.
And there's also a little bit of Aaron, just a reminder, you were always replaceable. And that doesn't hurt either.
Bonus right
there. Because to heck with that guy. I didn't watch much of the game last night, although that actually turns out to be one of the best of the bunch.
That was a great game.
And it's funny, too, because, like, I've been, like, ever since it's looked like the Lions might be able to make some noise, it's like, oh, God, please. Because it's like, I was telling, because Sheridan's not as big a football fan as me. I was like, you know, the last time the Lions were the champions, the Super Bowl didn't exist yet.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and it's like, when you put it in those terms, like, it's like, oh yeah, like, it's, you know, it's not Curse of the Bambino, but it's, you know, we're talking like almost 75 years.
A long time.
Like 70 years. Like, it's because their last championship was like sometime in the mid 50s, I think.
Yeah.
So,
and hadn't won a playoff game in more than three decades.
Yes. I believe Barry Sanders carried the ball the last time they they won a playoff game. So that was exciting. I don't know. I actually, again, because I was asleep on the couch, I have no idea how the Bills game is going.
They
right
were up
now
7-0 last I saw. And I don't know what the weather conditions are like in Buffalo. I mean, I can't imagine it's anything balmy after the weekend.
I saw something earlier today.
14-0.
Yeah, earlier today they were asking for more volunteers to come out and shovel the stands.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so they're not super comfortable.
No. 14-0, 20 seconds left in the first quarter.
Okay, so, so that's going about how we might have anticipated.
Yeah, I would think so. And I don't even care about Tampa Bay, Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like, it's two teams in the other conference, both of whom have won in the last, 3 years?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's old news to me. And, I just want to see something I haven't seen before.
Right.
And at this point, that's basically the Lions in the Super Bowl. So that's where I'm at.
I'm pulling for Lions-Bills.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
I'd like that.
That'd be a good some. Yeah. Yes, some string of futility would have to end.
There you go.
Yeah.
You
so go. That's great.
Hey, before we talk about movies, let's mention what's coming up Friday night.
That's right. The focus group is back in action after a bit of a longer layoff following our festival last fall. But yeah, January 19th, Friday, we will be at the Bangor Arts Exchange at 8 o'clock, doing the thing that we do. And hopefully folks will get out there. It sounds like it's going to be kind of a chilly one, but, but you know, it's warm in there. Right. Like if nothing else, you can warm yourselves at the glow of my sweaty face.
Right. Because you will be hot and damp regardless of the weather.
It really does not matter. No. It does not matter. Outside does not matter. No. Like when I'm on stage and there are lights on, I am hot and I am moist.
He's on fire. Let's say it.
Okay. but yeah, so hopefully anyone who's listening, if you're out and about and looking for something to do on Friday night, we'll go out there and try to be that thing that you do.
I love the sound of that right there. All right, movies. Have you seen anything of late? Oh, ScoMo down at KIT wanted to know, was very eager to find out if you've seen Saltburn yet.
I've not seen Saltburn.
Okay.
And it's one of those things where enough people have been like have asked me. That it's like, okay, I'm gonna need to go ahead and buckle down on that, because the reactions that I've heard from people have been wildly varying.
Yeah, and he liked it a lot.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like there's a certain baseline of like everyone's sort of like it's well made, the performances are great, but thematically, narratively, what have you, it seems like the material is presenting some challenges for different people, which is good. Like that's right. That's you know, the art, good art inspires conversation. But yeah, no, I haven't gotten to that one yet. I just saw that the Holdovers is available on streaming, so oh. I'm getting ready to dig into that.
Nice.
Had our weekend gone in a slightly different direction, Sheridan and I would have made our way to the Bangor Mall Cinemas, where they are, at least for the moment, screening Poor Things, the Yorgos Lanthimos movie.
Nice.
We were going to try to get to that this weekend, but you know, couch time with the cats is considerably more important.
I understand.
But that being said, there's still plenty out there for folks to watch, and I did manage to watch a couple of new movies, courtesy of the various and sundry streaming services that I have access to. I saw a movie called Roleplay on Amazon Prime Video. It stars Kaley Cuoco of Big Bang Theory and Flight Attendant fame. And I also saw, and I was very excited about this movie as soon as I learned of its existence, a film called Self-Reliance on Hulu, written, directed, and starring Jake Johnson. Probably best known to folks as Nick Miller from New Girl, but he's one of those guys who's been around and has a very distinct and specific presence. So, yeah, which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's take them in the order you mentioned them and do some role-playing first.
Okay. All right. What are you wearing? Well, it's funny. So here's the thing, and it's it always happens. There are some really specific big budget examples that are out there, usually from the, you know, from the 90s, but the phenomenon of similar movies popping up at the same time. You know, some refer to it as the Dante's Peak Volcano phenomenon. I prefer Deep Impact Armageddon,
yeah,
but to each their own. But yes, films just sort of popping up that have the same basic sort of, the fundamental subject is the same. That's kind of what we have with this this movie, Roleplay. Do you remember, I mean, it was just a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about a movie starring Mark Wahlberg as a reformed spy.
Yes.
Who was, you know, drawn back into the game.
Mm.
Well, Roleplay is a movie starring Kaley Cuoco as a still active professional assassin trying to get out of the game, married to... an amiable fellow played by David Oyelowo. They've got two kids at home, and you know, they're living suburban. She travels a lot for work. He doesn't know what she does, and he's like, you know what? do they just want to reconnect? And so they're like, well, let's have an evening of role play. And so they plan on going to this hotel where they're going to pretend not to know each other and do a whole thing. And, you know, he's going to pick her up at the bar. Mm-hmm. They're going to do. But as it turns out, at the bar is one of the many, many shadowy figures. This one played by Bill Nighy. Seeking her for reasons that are never super well explained. But anyway, they want to bring her back into the fold, and she doesn't want to go, and so hijinks ensue.
Wow, there.
Yes, again, if it sounds familiar, it's because I've definitely explained more or less that same plot on these very airwaves not so long ago. It's fine. Like, it's one of those things where it's easy. I find it's easy to be dismissive sometimes of actors making the transition from a, how do I put this? Well, from a Chuck Lorre sitcom.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have, because of the way those shows are structured, whether you're talking about, you know, your Two and a Half Men, your Big Bang Theory, you know, whatever, that sort of CBS multicam kind of thing. Like, you're sort of left questioning the actual talent of the participants,
right,
sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
That's a bias that we bring to the table. And so it's always interesting to see when actors sort of remove themselves from that environment, what happens next. Some fade away, like, and you just never really hear from them again. Some stay in that lane because they're comfortable.
Yeah.
And some push themselves. And I feel like Kaylee Cuoco has been someone who's really pushed herself.
Yeah, Flight Attendant was good.
It's a really good show, you know? And, you know, I think her movie work has been uneven, but she's never the problem.
Right.
When stuff doesn't work, right, if that makes sense, mm-hmm, you know? And that's saying something, because, you know, I've seen some Big Bang Theory, and, you know, this is not a person I would have expected to go on to to lead a prestigious, you know, television drama or become anything resembling a movie star. Like, you just wouldn't have predicted that. But she's quite good here. You know, David Oyelowo, like, he's a very talented actor. He's got some award nominations under his belt. You know, they're not asked to do a lot here. Like, not a lot of heavy lifting for him in this one. The action sequences are good, and it moves right along. You're not going to be surprised by a whole lot. But it's got a pretty brisk runtime, and it's kind of fun, you know? So I don't go into it expecting greatness, but pretty goodness. And honestly, like, especially in January, like, pretty good, kind of all you need.
Maybe a good movie if you're on the couch with the whole family gathered
around.
This
is what I'm saying.
And if you doze off, oh well.
Yeah, like, it's like you can fall asleep in this movie, wake up again, and it doesn't really matter how long you've been asleep. You can more or less pick it up.
All right, that's the story on role playing. Alan Adams talking movies with us on Downtown. What about Self-Reliance?
Man, okay, so I have a real soft spot for Jake Johnson. I like him as a performer very much. Even though I don't know that he's demonstrated a ton of range, he tends to sort of live in that kind of, like, sardonic, self-effacing kind of place. But, you know, also, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Like, he's really good in that sort of place. And, you know, watching this movie, which, again, as I mentioned before, he stars, but he also wrote and directed the film. And, it's produced by, among others, the Lonely Island guys, their production company. I referred to it in conversation with someone as basically the Citizen Kane of hunting man for sport comedies.
Wow. Wow.
So you've got Jake Johnson is playing this guy, just sort of a down on his luck, you know, like, has a decent job, keeps himself in decent shape, but he just ended a very long-term relationship, and he's moved back in with his mother. He doesn't have a lot going on, not a lot of close relationships, and so he's basically just living this rut over and over again. Until one day, he's walking down the street, a limousine pulls up, the window rolls down, and it's TV's Andy Samberg.
As himself.
As himself.
Love it.
It's, you know, the window goes down. Oh, my God, you're Andy Samberg. I'm a big fan. Andy Samberg's like, yeah, hey, want to get in? And, you know, obviously Andy Samberg rolls up in a limousine. You're like, okay, yeah, I'll get in.
Sure.
And then things get a little weird. We see Samberg sort of awkwardly interact for a moment before taking out some cards and reading them aloud and addressing them to a seemingly unseen audience. And we're like, what is going on? And it's like, oh, hey, do you want to keep going with this adventure or do you want to get out now? And Jake Johnson's like, well, yeah, this is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me. Obviously, I'm going to keep going. Pull up to an abandoned warehouse and where we discover that apparently our man has been selected as a participant in the most popular reality series on the dark web, wherein he agrees to spend the next 30 days being hunted.
Oh, God.
If he survives all 30 days, he will receive $1 million. However, there is a, well, it's deemed a loophole. He cannot be killed if someone else is there. He has to be alone.
Oh, okay.
Now, not alone by a lot, but like if he is in the constant company of someone, they can't get him. And so he thinks he's got it all worked out. And he's like, all right, yeah, I know I can do this. He signs up and away we go. And, you know, so immediately he tries to tell his family. They think he's crazy. You know, so he winds up hiring someone to be his constant companion. Puts an egg out on Craigslist to see if he can find other people who are engaged in this. He finds one played by the lovely and talented Anna Kendrick.
Nice.
Yeah, and so we see their relationship develop, but also, you know, there's the constant sort of overarching fear. It's like, oh, we have to always be in one another's presence or else something bad is going to happen. And things develop from there in ways that I'm not going to share because, you know, I mean, the reality is the movie's only like 90 minutes long, so there's not, you know, I don't want to spoil anything because there's not that much to it. But suffice it to say, our guy winds up in some pretty awkward situations, both in his personal life and engaging with the world of the game, whether he's seeing mysterious cowboys or encountering the apparent legion of ninja-like production assistants who are filming the entire thing, or the brief cameo from Boban. Who shows up as one of the because that's apparently what you do now if you're right. Making any sort of like movie with hitmen in it. It's like, well, we need a really big one.
No.
You know, it's like, has Boban retired from the NBA yet? Like we need to get him in here. But yeah, it's very fun. It's a super fast watch. It's always interesting because this is Johnson's first feature film as a director. So it's like, it's always interesting to see people who have been on one side of the camera for such a long time sort of make that transition, especially, you know, directing a script that he himself has written. He's pretty good. Like he does a good job.
He was kind of the darling of, a guy we had on the show a number of years ago now, but the indie director, Joe Swanberg.
I was going to say, he was a big Swanberg guy.
Yeah.
And you have to imagine that operating in that sort of ecosystem, sort of like if you have any ambition in that direction, like that's got to ignite it because that's sort of his whole deal is that sort of bootstrapsy kind of filmmaking, telling those sorts of smaller stories, which is, it's interesting because this one is a very, very much a small sort of, you know, one man's journey sort of story just in the context of, you know, the ridiculous notion of, you know, getting hunted for sport on the dark web. But yeah, it's he's really good. Kendrick's great. We have some wonderful sort of other appearances from various players, including Christopher Lloyd. Is also in this film along with he is not playing himself, a la Andy Samberg. Although I will say I do enjoy a good sort of playing yourself, like playing an exaggerated version of yourself performance.
Right.
And Samberg gives a pretty good one because it's clear that he was like just channeling something that felt very close to him. The idea.
See, to me, the ultimate, the all-time great playing yourself is Bill Murray in Zombieland.
Yes, Bill Murray in Zombieland is exquisite. Oh, what's another great one? Oh, you know who really gave it a turn was Call Me Maybe.
Yeah.
With Keanu Reeves playing himself. Which was delightful. But yeah, anytime, especially like really famous people, anytime they not only agree to do something like this, but are clearly in on the joke and get that, like, yes, I know I have this persona.
And what was the Nick Cage film where he played essentially himself?
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Which I did not see.
Oh, it's super fun. And, and current IT guy Pedro Pascal is in it. So it's like, that guy, anyone who saw any reaction shots of that dude at the Golden Globes knows that he is clearly just a delight.
Yeah.
Just a joyful light in Hollywood. So, but yeah, so Self-Reliance, I really enjoyed it. I was looking forward to it. And it did not disappoint.
And check it out. And I feel like, not just because she's from Maine, but that's part of it. I feel like Anna Kendrick is so underutilized in Hollywood. She's very good in everything. And yeah, the big success with Pitch Perfect, got an Oscar nomination with Clooney in Up in the Air. But I feel like they don't know how to use her.
You know, I think that's part of it. And I sometimes wonder, just because... there's a sort of irreverence to her that comes through pretty strongly, like whenever she's making appearances or whatever. And, you know, like there may be some folks in Hollywood who don't care for that.
Right.
You know, speak when spoken to and that sort of thing. And, you know, if you've got someone who's got a little bit of an attitude, like not a negative way, but just like a sense of self beyond like the work.
Right.
So maybe some directors aren't necessarily interested in working with that. So, but yeah, I agree. It's weird that we haven't seen more of her. But like, I wouldn't be shocked to see her turn up as a lead in one of these prestige TV shows.
Right.
I mean, the reality is like the way they're churning them out, like they're going to have to get to her at some point.
Yeah. There's nobody left.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, there are, there are new series dropping like every week on all of these, on all of these platforms that I just can't imagine anyone's gonna see. Like, right. That's the thing. It's just, there's so much content.
Even TV critics can't watch everything. There's just too much of it.
You know, and it's just like, and you just stop and you think, and you're like, you know what? But every one of these shows, somewhere out there, there's someone that's their favorite show.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, but it's just such a fragmented landscape. It's interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see how it goes going forward. I think what's going to happen is a fair amount of consolidation. Like, we've already sort of seen the beginnings of that. Mm-hmm. And then we're back to where we were with cable. So, you know, like, it kind of feels like that's what they're doing now anyway, sort of reinventing cable. But then again, you know, Peacock got 23 million people for their playoff exclusive. So it's, I mean, that's, you know, look out, broadcast.
Right. Oh, no question. Do you watch the Emmys? Are you an Emmys guy?
I don't. Not as a rule, just because I'm not necessarily as huge a TV guy. Right. You know, we're sitting here talking about all the wealth of stuff to watch, versus for new TV series. Meanwhile, Sheridan and I have spent the last 2 weeks methodically working our way through Boston Legal.
I love Boston Legal.
See, I'd never seen it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like 20 years old now or whatever.
Executive produced and written by friend of downtown, Fief Sutton.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, yes.
Well, and it's a David E. Kelly joint, and Kelly's from Maine.
He sure is.
You know what I mean? So, and then there's Bill Delia, whose son turned out to be a creep. But, you know, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Right, yeah. That's a fun show.
You know, it's so much more meta than I expected it to be.
Yes.
Both in terms of like self-reference and acknowledging the work of the cast in the greater world,
yeah.
Shatner especially.
Oh, Well, you put Shatner and Spader together when they're sitting outside smoking cigars. Like, I could just watch that.
Oh yeah,
that could be the whole series.
Oh yeah, give me 45 minutes of balcony time, and yeah. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like, you know, so I'm part of the problem, is what I'm saying. It's like, well, it was funny. We had a day, like, we were home. It was the day after New Year's. We were tired. We were just on the couch, and we're getting ready to take a nap. And we're just trying to figure out something to put on as background noise while we were taking a nap. Mm. And Sheridan landed on Boston Legal, and I, you know, I'd never seen it, and I sort of start like half watching with my eyes closed, and then my eyes are open, and then I'm watching, and then I'm watching the next episode, and it's like, okay, well, oh right, because this is how TV used to work.
Yeah, imagine that.
Well, it's like we're working through the second season, 27 episodes.
Yeah,
27 hour long episodes. Mm. It's just like I can't fathom a current series.
Right, that's 3 years now.
You know, whereas the thing we watched immediately before that, A Murder at the End of the World on Hulu, 7 episodes, beginning to end.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see in 10 months or maybe. Or maybe it'll be 2 years before we come back.
Yeah, or maybe we won't.
Right.
Who knows?
Right, because the streaming service decided, hey, we do better when we have new shows, even if people like the old ones.
Yeah. And you're finished? Actually, we're just going to put this in the trash can and write it off for tax purposes, because that's a thing that happens too. And so it's just, yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily, I'm not someone who cares for change generally, but the truth is, this is not a bell that can be unrung. So yeah, let's just buckle up and try to find the stuff we like and keep talking about it.
Ironic that we're talking about this when last hour we were talking with your fellow Downtown Hall of Famer, Mike Farrell, and reminiscing about that final episode of MASH with well over 100 million people watching. That'll never happen again.
Yeah.
For anything. Not even a Super Bowl.
Oh, God. Like, I mean, it could be like the, you know, our first encounter with extraterrestrial life could be televised. That's not going to get 100 million people.
No, because somebody's going to be watching Dr. Pimple Popper instead.
Yep. No, you gotta find out, who gets the fourth rose on the, I don't know, I don't even know how to say anything that's more ridiculous than what already exists.
Right.
So it's just like
half of these new series look like they were dreamed up on 30 Rock as not actual series.
That's the thing. It's like when the jokes from 10 or 15 years ago become reality. Yeah. It's like, well, considering the grander state of things, I suppose it's not that big a surprise.
Right in line.
but hey, at least at least it's probably not going to flood for the next week or so.
Big, we got that going for us.
I mean, fingers crossed.
Can't be sure. Thanks, Al. You have a good week.
You as well, sir.
Alan Adams talking movies. Pass the popcorn here on Downtown.